Thank you for helping us make budget again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 6 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your financial support. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, issues, etc., and sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org. We're looking forward to partnering with you in 2014. It's a good question. It's a question, well, for which the 16th century reformer Martin Luther and his theological descendants kind of remain famous. A simple question, what does this mean? It's a catechetical question. That is, it's a question that is kind of part of the teaching of the Christian faith. But we live in a culture that is obsessed with practical application. This has to apply to me, to my life, to my situation, to some circumstance, in a way that actually makes a difference, a tangible way. We are obsessed with practical application. And that obsession has found its way also into the aisles of the church, into the pulpits of the church, and probably not for the betterment of God's people. We have done a lot of leapfrogging over the what of the Christian faith to the what does this mean? And I think there's a danger there. Joining us to talk about the teachings of the Christian faith on this Wednesday afternoon, January the 8th, Pastor John Pless. He's Assistant Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of a new handbook titled Didache. John, welcome back.
Good to be with you again, Todd. Happy New Year to you.
And to you as well. What is the danger of leapfrogging the what of the Christian faith, going and kind of jumping straight to the what does this mean of the Christian faith?
That's a good question, Todd. And I think the danger is that we can kind of get unbuckled and away from text. And then we're in a kind of a perpetual search for signification or for meaning. And Luther, in his small catechism, provides a different approach. In fact, in the preface to the small catechism, he says you start by simply teaching the text. And then only after pupils have mastered the text do you move to the question of what does the text mean, and then you continue, the third part, he says, to grow into that text. You know, our English translations actually of the Small Catechism do us a disservice at this point. Even the way the question is phrased in the English translation, what does this mean, if you look at the German, was ist das, what is this? In other words, it's much more stark and to the point. And that's the way Luther begins with the catechization or with the teaching of these chief components, these chief articles of the Christian faith. Simply the question, what is it? What is baptism? What is the Lord's Supper, for example? And then only after that has been secured and settled does he move on to how we are to use these gifts of God.
Do we need to make the case that there is such a thing as, what was the term you just used, the kind of the corpus of Christian teaching, the basic teachings of the Christian faith, especially in light of the fact that a lot of Christians just view the Bible as, it's a reference, a kind of unrelated things, that I can, if I can find kind of the proper entry, I can gain some insight or some wisdom, but there's not really any coherence to the thing.
Yeah, there is a singularity, I think, to the truth of the Scriptures. It's been pointed out by numerous scholars that when Luther and the New Testament, for that matter, speak of Christian truth, they always refer to doctrine in the singular. That is to say, the Christian faith is not made up of a collection of disconnected doctrines, but the doctrine is one, that there is an essential unity here to the truth of the Christian faith, and that the only place where doctrines in the New Testament are used in the plural are references to doctrines of men or doctrines of demons, that there you have diversity. There you have this schismatic divorce. There you have this splitting away from the Word of God. And so Luther's Catechism, and I try to bring this out in my little book, Didache, that we're talking about, emphasizes the kind of the whatness of the Christian faith, and doing that by a clear reference back to the Scripture, what Christ has given us through His prophetic and apostolic words.
You say that we need to remain anchored to the texts. What texts are we talking about in particular?
Well, when we think of the Catechism, we think of texts that are really quite Catholic, that Luther did not simply go off in the Bible and try to find some esoteric pericopes to bring to the fore. He started with the texts that have characterized the Christian faith from the beginning, the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, the words of institution for baptism, for confession and absolution, the office of the keys, and for the Lord's Supper. And he begins with these basic texts that were well known from the liturgy of the church, and certainly texts that are there in Holy Scripture, which lies behind the liturgy.
So he starts with, I mean, depending on how you want to count these things, what have been traditionally called six chief parts. Some people look at this, John, and they say, well, that certainly there are certainly some important things, but they don't seem like the most important things. What's your response?
What could be more important than the Lord's law and the Lord's gospel? And so when Luther begins with the Ten Commandments, he starts, of course, with the First Commandment, that the First Commandment is primary, not simply first in the list chronologically, but the First Commandment, you shall have no other gods, anchors the whole of Christian teaching. In fact, Luther will be so bold to say, as you can find all of Holy Scripture, all of law and gospel, in that First Commandment, you shall have no other gods. And that really becomes kind of the anchor point. And if the First Commandment is the anchor point for Christian teaching, then the heart of Christian teaching is the second article, the confession that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, that he has redeemed me, purchased and won me from sin, death, and the devil. And that's the beating heart of the Christian faith. And everything else in the Catechism really revolves around that life-giving center. And you can't get, I mean, you can't get any more important, you can't get anything in Scripture that is more important than this simple confession that Jesus Christ is Lord.
So, at the very beginning, this is about a Christian faith this is about the faith which is believed, and by the means of kind of delivering that faith which is believed, then the faith which believes is engendered.
Exactly. You know, when Luther does the Catechism, it's always belief in, I believe in, God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and I believe that God made me and all creatures. And so the faith, the content of what we believe, cannot be divorced from the faith which does receive, which does believe these gracious promises of life and salvation that God has packed into His Word.
Pastor John Pless is our guest. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have about 10 more minutes with him on this Wednesday afternoon, January the 8th. We're talking about the teaching of the Christian faith. He's Assistant Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of a new handbook titled Didache. A little bit later in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., some open lines. I would like your reaction to this question and to an article that appeared from the Religion News Service. Breastfeeding is on the rise, but in church, it can be an issue. What do you think about breastfeeding in church? You can leave your answer to that question, your reaction to the article posted there at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc, or you can wait about 15 minutes and give us a call during open lines, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at @issuesetc. Our Facebook fan page again, where you can leave a question or a comment and your reaction to the article, Breastfeeding is on the Rise, but in church it can be an issue, facebook.com/issuesetc.
Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm talking about the teaching of the Christian faith. Pastor John Pless is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. John Pless is Assistant Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. John, before we go on, I know you deal a lot with the young men there who are studying to be pastors, preparing themselves for the pastoral ministry. Why should a young man listening to us consider studying for the office of the ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary there in Fort Wayne?
Well, I guess there would be two parts, Todd, to my answer. The first is directly from Scripture, Romans 10, where the Apostle Paul says that faith comes by hearing the word of Christ, and that this word requires a preacher. How can they preach unless they are sent? And we here very much believe that God raises up men from the congregations of our church. And seminary is a place where they might be thoroughly equipped and outfitted to proclaim that one name, the name of Jesus Christ, in which we have salvation. And that would be the first part, I guess, of my answer. The second part of my answer is maybe a bit more reflective of my own experience, more personal kind of answer. I was a pastor for 17 years at University Lutheran Chapel in Minneapolis before I came to teach here. And I had such a good time, it was such an exciting time, to be with a congregation of the Lord's people in a very challenging setting, a university campus, and yet to witness to the power of the Word of Life to triumph over all that is dark and dead in this world. And it's really a privilege that the Lord would use us as servants of His message, as heralds of His cross. And I like to tell our students here that I see my life being invested as a professor of theology to help men have as much fun and as much joy as I had in those 17 years as pastor at University Lutheran Chapel. And I would encourage any young man or older man, for that matter, to give serious consideration as to whether or not the Lord might have good use of him in the pastoral office.
Folks, you'll find a link to Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. The other thing that you emphasize is that the teaching of the Christian faith can never be disconnected from the life of the church, in particular, the worship and practice of the church. What's that connection?
Well, what I try to do in Didache is to suggest that there are three books that we use for Christian education: the Holy Scriptures, Luther's Small Catechism, and the hymnal, which in our case now is Lutheran Service Book. That our doctrine is drawn from the Bible, confessed in the catechism, and expressed in the liturgy and the hymns of the church. And that these three texts really do interlock and work together. You know, when Martin Luther was reforming the classic liturgy in 1526, he noted in his Deutschmesse, or in his German Mass, what this liturgy needs is a good, fair, square catechism. And in the history of the church, catechism and liturgy either stand or fall together. If we could put it like this, the catechism is really kind of the compass that navigates the liturgy. It keeps the direction of the liturgy straight. The great thing about Luther's catechism is that it uses texts that people were familiar with from the divine service, and it keeps the traffic moving in the right direction, that the liturgy is not a pious performance that we put on to appease God, but the liturgy is the Lord himself stooping down to serve us in the preaching of his word and the giving out of his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins in the sacrament. And the catechism keeps that straight so that we don't turn liturgy into our show, into our project, but we keep it as it is, the divine service.
So it's a two-way street that the word obviously governs all things, but the liturgy is there precisely to frame the word for the life of the church.
The liturgy is there as a servant, as a carrier of God's word. And one of the things I try to do in Didache is to demonstrate how the various parts of the liturgy actually hang together, but also how these parts of the liturgy are derived from the Bible, that the liturgy is really Scripture confessed, asserted, and prayed. And so that when we think of the liturgy, we don't think of simply this kind of creation that man has put together, that human beings have constructed over time, but we see liturgy itself in continuity with the Holy Scriptures, that we are praising God, we are confessing his gifts with the words God himself has given us, the words that he has caused to be inspired, and we now have in Holy Scripture are embedded in the liturgy.
Now, when someone tries to disconnect those things, they say, look, we're going to retain the content of the faith, but we're going to substantially, and I don't think we even need to make the case that the changes that have been enacted in Christian worship are substantial. They're not accidental. They're not just peripheral. We're going to substantially change the nature of Christian worship. What's your caution there?
Well, often then, we try to say things better than the Lord himself. Again, if you simply look at the divine service, look at the text in the divine service, you see that they are in large part texts that come directly from the Bible, or texts that that paraphrase the Bible, or certainly are based on biblical scriptural truth. And when we try to do it better, we often end up creating something that lacks the sturdiness and the certainty of the scriptures, which are God's own word breathed by His Holy Spirit. And we do then create a we create another God. That's the reason, as I mentioned in Didache and try to demonstrate in the instruction I provide there, that for Luther, the first commandment, you shall have no other gods, really governs the way we understand liturgy, the way we understand worship. And so that when we are worshiping in a way that is expressive of the catechism, all of our worship is looking to God alone, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as the one who is to be feared, loved, and trusted above all things.
So a Sunday morning that is not reflective of the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, that doesn't even explicitly contain those texts in any way, that can be conducted in a perfectly logical fashion without reference to baptism, the Lord's Supper, or confession, absolution. What's the basic problem there, John?
Well, you have something other than the worship of the New Testament. You have a worship that is more man-centered rather than Christ-centered. And it is more reflective of human needs, human psychologies, human aspirations than the marvelous treasures that God has given us in His Son, Jesus Christ, and lays before us in preaching and in sacrament.
You said that that one of those three texts was the hymnal. Now, hymnals do change. That's granted. But
right.
Someone is going to say to you, John, come on, you're living in an ivory tower. We're living in a post-hymnal church. Hymnals are passé. What would your response be with about a minute?
Well, you know, the hymnal is certainly more than a book. Songs, hymns, and psalms are carried in the heart and are sung, even if they are not, not written down. We have the good fortune of being in a circumstance where those texts can actually be put together in a book, and we value that book. And one of the things that I try to emphasize in Didache is that the hymnal is more than a book for Sunday morning. The hymnal becomes actually, along with the catechism and the Bible, one of the prayer books for God's people.
When you say prayer book, what do you mean by that?
Well, Diedrich Bonhoeffer did a little book called Psalms, the Prayer Book of the Bible, and we could expand that to include other texts from Scripture itself, that when we are praying in accordance with the Lord's Word, then we can be sure that our prayers are heard by Him. And so we actually learn how to pray the Scriptures. Luther talked about it in terms of his oratio meditatio tentatio, something that you and I have talked about before on this this program, that that we hear the Word of God, and as the Word of God passes from the ear to the heart and to the mind, it comes then to expression on the lip in prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. And so our prayer life is actually governed by God's Word. I mentioned Bonhoeffer's little book. He has a wonderful sentence in that book where he says, "It's the richness of the Word of God and not the poverty of our own hearts that ought to determine our prayers." And that's what I try to do in Didache, is to show, again, how the richness of God's Word, which we have in Holy Scripture, is confessed in Luther's catechism and then given this expression in hymnody and liturgy.
Finally, then, with about 30 seconds, how can lay people and pastors alike benefit from your handbook, the Didache?
Well, I originally wrote it when I was a campus pastor in Minneapolis as an adult instruction piece, but since that time I've revised it, and now it is being used not only for adult catechesis to bring people to baptism and confirmation, generally adults, but also for Christian lay people to continue to deepen their knowledge of the three books of the church, the Bible, catechism, and the hymnal. So I'm very pleased that pastors are using it in Bible classes, that people are using it devotionally for their own study and meditation as well.
Folks, you can purchase Didache at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor John Pless is Assistant Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the new handbook titled Didache. John, thanks for being our guest.
Todd, it's always great to be with you. Lord's blessings on the work that you're doing.
When we come back, it's a little open lines on this Wednesday afternoon, January the 8th. What do you think about breastfeeding in church? There was an article from the Religion News Service in the local paper here under the headline, Breastfeeding is on the Rise, but in church it can be an issue. What are your thoughts on that, breastfeeding in church? It's very common nowadays. Breastfeeding definitely is more common. It's more commonly seen in public. Is church one of the places where it ought to be seen or ought not to be seen? I want your thoughts on that, a little bit of open lines issues, et cetera, when we come back. Then Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse will join us. We'll talk about a government study showing an increase in cohabitation and a decrease in so-called shotgun weddings. Our call-in number, this break is a great time to call with your answer to the question, what do you think about breastfeeding in church? 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or leave your thoughts at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc.
The saints at Gethsemane Evangelical Lutheran Church in downtown Marion, Ohio, invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, which He won for us in His perfect life, death, and resurrection. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:15 a.m. with a divine service following at 10:30. Visit our website, gethsemane-lcms.org, or find us on Facebook to learn more about our confessional, historical, and liturgical congregation.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
An oasis in the desert of pop American Christianity. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Louisville, Nebraska. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida, St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia, and Emmaus Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.